Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for another opportunity to come and study the word of truth, right divided tonight. Lord, we pray as we study together that we as saints in the body of Christ will be encouraged. Lord, that we know your word. In your word is comfort. In your word is peace. And Lord, that we can stand on it. And let us stand on the fact that we know that your grace is sufficient. No matter what's going on in this sin-cursed world, we know that if we just trust in you and what you have told us in your word, Lord Jesus, that you give us that peace and you comfort us in trying times, tribulations, and persecutions. All we have to do is just trust it. And we pray that those who have been looking to man, that they will stop looking at man and learn to trust and put their total faith in you. And what your word says. We thank you for the gospel by which we are saved, and that is that Jesus Christ, he died, that he was buried, and he rose again on the third day according to the scriptures. And if there is someone listening right now that's hearing these words and hear the gospel of their salvation, some a sinner, man, woman, boy, girl, if they just believe tonight that you died, that you was buried, that you rose again, on the third day according to the scriptures. They believe by faith, Lord Jesus, they have been saved from the penalty of sin. For the Bible says the wage of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. We thank God. We thank you for this opportunity. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. My brothers and sisters, we're going to go ahead and get going tonight. I see more folks coming on. As we're getting ready to go into our lesson tonight. Like I said, tonight we're going to talk about, because last week we've been dealing with weathering the storms. And I think saints need to be encouraged because we're going to continue to have storms in this old life. And we're going to continue to be battered by persecution, tribulations, trials, and ups and downs in this old life. And then, you know, sometimes folks get to the point where they feel like it's just hopeless, and some of them get in great depressions, they get in despair, and they feel like all is lost. But tonight we're going to talk about life is never hopeless for those in Christ. Life is never hopeless for those in Jesus Christ. That's what we're going to talk about tonight, that life is hopeless for those in Jesus Christ. My brothers and sisters, 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 through 18, Apostle Paul, he talks about the rapture, that glorious event that's going to take place, my brothers and sisters. And in those verses, I want you to go and read those verses. I call that those rapture verses. But in those verses, Paul lets us know that we are never hopeless. All right? Death is real for the believer in Christ, but the hope of the resurrection means that it is not an everlasting state. It is a temporary interruption. For the believer in Christ, death is only a transition from this life to the next. The moment we die physically, we are ushered into the presence of the living God. Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who are asleep. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The Christian can face death not with despair, but with a hope in what God will do, grounded in what he has already done in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The believer who dies in Christ remains in Christ for all eternity. We have nothing to fear because Jesus will come either with us or for us. Here's the blessed hope for the dead in Christ, as well as for those living in Christ. We shall always be with the Lord. Do you have that assurance in your heart tonight? 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 through 18. I want you to read those verses. Paul has given us a definite word from the Lord to let us know that we are never. My brothers and sisters, you know what I'm going to do? So you can hear those verses. I'm going to go on and read those because you know what? It's about God's word. 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 through 18. So you'll know. Paul says, but I will not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we shall ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. My brothers and sisters, with those words, we, just as the Thessalonians, my brothers and sisters, can comfort one another, because God has been pleased to reveal to us what has happened to our loved ones who have died in Christ. He has not left us ignorant and without hope. God has revealed some good news for us who face death. The whole point Paul is making is that this great event will happen. It is a voucher that will be redeemed. It is a promise for us to personally believe. We shall always be with the Lord. It's the glorious outcome. Paul, he's not making some suggestion about how we might comfort one another, my brothers and sisters. Paul's chief concern is to give the blessed hope that we will be with Christ for all eternity. 1 Thessalonians 5, 9 through 10. Let me read those verses. 1 Thessalonians 5, 9 through 10. For God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we be awake or asleep, we shall live together with him. First, in Philippians 1:23, Paul says these words, for I am in a strait betwixt two, having the desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. And then he goes on in Colossians 3:4, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. All Christians will be united with Christ. From this time and forever, they will be with the Lord. He will take the living. He will take the living. The one Paul thought Paul embraces, that we will be with the Lord forever. All of the resurrected and raptured Christians will be with Christ forever. How consoling is that? How comforting is that? We shall always be with the Lord. Having joined him, we shall be continued with the Lord. This is the grand climax of the blessedness. It was Paul's desire on more than one occasion. Paul says, 2 Corinthians 5:8, we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Note the permanence of the fellowship with Christ and one another. How should this reunion with our loved ones and our resurrection affect our view of death, our life today and the future? Those who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we shall always be with the Lord. Have hope tonight, knowing that the dead in Christ are those believers who in life were in Christ and have died a physical death. Their soul and spirit went to heaven to be with Jesus the moment they died, and their bodies were laid in the grave. That's what happened. Their soul and spirit. Spirit went back to God who gave it. Their soul is in heaven. It refers to our position in Christ when we receive Jesus Christ as our personal Savior who died for us and rose from the dead. In the instant we trusted in Christ, the Savior, we were placed into the body of Christ, the church. We became a part of this living organism, which is called his church. Every Christian who was and is saved by the gospel, the grace of God, is equally in Christ. The dead in Christ will be raised when Christ returns. This is a selective resurrection. Only those who are in Christ will be raised at that moment. The unsaved will not be raised at this time. Death cannot upset the vital union between the believer, my brothers and sisters, has in Christ. Those who live in Christ, in death remain in Christ. We are with the Lord forever. It is an unchanging relationship with Christ in life and in death. Praise the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. This great message of comfort, encouragement, cheer, and hope should cause us as believers in the body of Christ to actively strengthen one another. It should give us courage to face death and comfort our hearts in the face of death of loved one. All things and all men are in his hands who have been saved by the gospel, the grace of God. When it is his will to bring in the end of this age, those who have died in him and those who still survive will be united in his presence. Praise God for that. Now, Paul knew that life, as we've been talking about in Acts on that voyage, Paul knew that life is never hopeless for those in Christ. And as we study a few more verses of Acts 27, Paul's voyage to Rome, we can gain a few more things spiritually from this message that is so enriching and enlightened for our inner man. If you watched any TV news lately, you've seen reports of the stress and hopelessness many people are experiencing today. Layoffs, unemployment, foreclosures, bankruptcies, and natural disasters are putting enormous pressure on families to give up hope and succumb to despair. My brothers and sisters, this is not just the experience of unbelievers. There are many Christians in the body of Christ, the church, who are facing difficult times in their finances, their health, family, or emotions. Like Job and many other men and women in the Bible, they're at the end of their rope, and their faith is being tested. My brothers and sisters, no matter what difficult circumstance you may be facing, God wants you to know that you can turn to him as your very present help in times of trouble. Even though you may feel surrounded by problems on every side, the Lord is your hope. He's our hope, the one who lifts your head. Romans 15:4, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Sometimes we forget that men and women in the Bible often went through trials very similar to those we face today. For example, even though God provided Elijah with food brought by ravens and water from a brook, it happened after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. 1 Kings 17:7. Have you ever felt like your brook have dried up and God's help and provision were nowhere to be found? Many are feeling that way today as they deal with the sufferings of this present time. The key to a turnaround in your life is not in some far-off place. It's right there in your hand, the Word of God. But here's the problem. Many will not do what God has told us to do in 2 Timothy 2:15, and that is to study the word of truth, my brothers and sisters, rightly divided. We can't base our faith on what we want God to do or what we think he will do, but what he has promised us in his word. However, if we don't know what those promises are, we will be devastated when the things we are hoping for don't come to fruition. In order to know God's promises, we have to be in his word, right divided. We need to be students of the Bible, praying, reading, meditating, and memorizing what God has given us to know him and to walk in his truth. The danger of not being students of the word is that we're more likely to read scripture in the way we want to hear it, basing our hope on verses we've taken out of context, only to be disappointed and confused when God doesn't act in the way we desired him to or assume he would. We won't follow Christ long if we expect him to act in a way what makes sense to us. So our faith must be firmly fixed in who God said he is rather than who we want him to be. The same as when difficult times and circumstances arise in our life, Jesus is more precious than anything this world can give. When adversity comes, we are forced to face problems and pressures that are too big for us to resolve. Trials, adversities, tribulations, and persecutions have a way of getting our attention. We can't continue to pursue our goals, tasks, and relationships in the same manner. We have to stop and evaluate our situation, ask God for wisdom, obey his word, and trust him to bring the help we needed. Paul, out there on that voyage, I can imagine, trusting in God, he never felt hopeless. Troubles point out our weakness, and prompt us to rely on God in ways that we wouldn't unless we had significant need. Christ's invitation to those who are weary becomes very attractive in the midst of trials and storms in our lives. Look at what Jesus said during his earthly ministry to the nation of Israel. He said in Matthew 11, 28 through 30, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon me and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Adversity is a classroom in which we can learn more of Christ and become more like him. Adversity reminds us of our weaknesses. The Apostle Paul knew what it meant to live with adversity that would not go away. He learned to see the good that God intended to bring into his life through it and to rejoice in God's design. He wrote in 2 Corinthians 12:7 through 10, At least I should be exalted above measures through the abundance of the revelation. There was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me. Least I should be exalted above measures. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasures in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." As we accept and deal with the sufferings of this present time and the suffering for Christ's sake and embrace God's purpose for our difficulties, we will experience the power of Christ in our life. We can trust God to care for us and to provide all that we need. One of the ultimate purposes of adversity is to cause us to desire more of Christ's power in our lives. Trouble reveals that on our own we can't live in a way that honors God. We need to rely on God and trust that his grace is sufficient. Paul and the passengers were dealing with extreme adversity in this voyage to Rome. But in the midst of the storm, the Apostle Paul stayed calm. Paul wants us to know tonight that adversity prepares us to comfort others. One of the most valuable results of adversity is that through it we receive God's comfort, which we are then able to share with others who face similar troubles. How do you know? 2 Corinthians 1, 3-5. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercy and the God of all comfort. Didn't say some comfort, of all comfort, who comfort us in all our tribulations, that we may be able to what? Comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherein we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so also consolation also abounded by Christ. Paul wants us also to know that suffering, it brings pain, but it is not an end in itself. 2 Corinthians, we talked about it. Paul says, 2 Corinthians 4, 7-12, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us." All we have to do is read God's word. If you want that comfort, if you want that strength, if you want that peace, read God's word and trust it, my brothers and sisters. Paul said, "We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair." You see that? Those who are despair tonight, Paul is letting us know something. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be able to manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We must go to the souls who are weary, without hope, and give them words of comfort and peace from God's word. We must commune with them over the word of truth, rightly divided, and feed the souls that's crying out in despair and sorrow. And there's a lot of them crying out in despair and sorrow tonight, my brothers and sisters. This is the privilege and the power given to us as believers in Christ. The Apostle Paul doesn't lose hope or give up while out there in this hurricane. The Apostle Paul doesn't let the situation control him. Rather, he controls the situation. And how does he control it? With his faith. You see that? That's how you control it tonight. I'm excited about that, because with your faith in what God has said, not what man said, you control things and circumstances in your life. You control those, what we call hopeless situations that folks feed you, that the enemy feeds you. You control those situations with faith. Only a person of faith can take such a drastic action. They absolutely trusted in the living God to take care of them. This means that all transformed into people of faith too. Once they saw Paul and how Paul handled things out there in this hurricane, in the midst of these storms, and being battered by the storms of life, you too. When you see saints, my brothers and sisters, when you see saints control situations with their faith, they know that they're never hopeless in Jesus Christ. Acts 27:38, and when they had eaten enough, he said, they lightened the ship and cast out the wheat into the sea. My brothers and sisters, one by one, the pastors have shared their stuff, but that is still not enough, and they must now throw out the grain to lighten the ship out there in this hurricane. This was the last essential supply they held on to, and for good reason. For how can they survive without food? If they throw their grain out, they will immediately face hunger. But they had to lighten the ship. The situation had boiled down to the essential matter of life and death. Only a person of faith can take such drastic action. What we must notice that Paul wasn't the only one who threw out the grain. But everyone worked together to do so. They had reached the end of the rope. God, we don't have anything. What is Paul message to us as saints? What are we carrying around that's not conducive to us growing spiritually? What stronghold have us bound tonight? What are you considering important in your life tonight? Is it materialism or seeking out things for your own selfish reasons? What Paul is saying, that whatever it is that's hindering you, throw it overboard and rest in God's grace and know that his grace is sufficient. Paul them threw the grain over and trusted in Christ. He trusted and he controlled the situation with his faith. So whatever it is that's hindering you tonight, you throw it overboard. Whatever it is that's hindering you from growing spiritually, you throw it overboard and walk in the Spirit. Notice all work together to lighten the ship. We as saints should all be working together to encourage one another and bring words of comfort and peace. We should all have the same goal of reaching the lost with the gospel of the grace of God. We don't know what storm or crisis will strike us, but we can stand on the faith of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The faith that we as Christians possess should shine as a bright beacon of hope for those in darkness. Paul the Apostle, he stood firm and encouraged the ones who were fearing for their lives. His faith in God in the midst of life's storm and challenges should challenge every believer in the body of Christ to share with one the reason for the amazing hope that we have. Jesus Christ, who died, was buried and resurrected and lives forevermore. That wonderful gospel. Like Apostle Paul, we should strive to urge others to have courage and rest in eternal life through our Lord Jesus, and feed the ones who desperately seek hope in the darkness of life's storm. Apostle Paul remained calm and he remained spiritual. He was maintained spiritual leadership even in a severe storm of a hurricane force wind. He took control of the situation with faith instead of letting the situation overtake him. So many tonight in the body of Christ, you've let the situation overtake you because of your faith. You don't have that faith. You're not trusting in God. You're looking at the circumstances, and you're not looking at God and what he says in his word. This was possible. What Paul did possibly because he had his mind set above on Jesus Christ. Let us learn from his precious example set by the apostle. Notice Acts 27:25. He said, "Wherefore, sir, be of good cheer." He said, "For I believe God that it shall be even as it were told me. Take note of what Paul said. He said, "I believe God." He didn't say, "I believe in God." Notice this verse, Paul said, "I believe God." He didn't say, "I believe in God." Every demon in hell agrees with the existence of God. Paul declared his total confidence in God. Knowledge of his situation and his promise in his situation. Paul believed God when there was nothing else to believe. He couldn't believe the sailors, the ship, the sails, the wind, the centurion, human ingenuity, or anything else. Only God. Paul said, "I believe God." This was not a fair weather faith. He believed God in the midst of the storm. When circumstances were at their worst, Paul is saying, no matter what the situation or circumstances is, I will trust him. The storm and the danger were real, but God was more real to Paul than the dreadful circumstances that he was going through. Paul's unshakable confidence in God made him a leader among men, even though he was a prisoner of Rome. Trust the Lord in all things, in all situations, in all circumstances. Why should we trust him in all those things? 2 Corinthians 4:14-18. "For our light afflictions, which is but for a moment, working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." Now look at what verse 18 he says. "While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." My brothers and sisters, if you just go and you trust in God's word, my brothers and sisters, and you put your faith in what God says, my brothers and sisters, you can be like Paul tonight. Did you hear what Paul said? You can be like Paul tonight, my brothers and sisters. Yes, indeed. Now, I'm trying to think. Paul said, "While we look." Let me read this scripture for you because I want you to be encouraged tonight. Look at, I'm going to go to 2 Corinthians 4:14-18. So I can read this scripture to you so you'll know it. "Knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sake, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many be abound, redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Now, for our light afflictions, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." And Paul said, "Why we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." My brothers and sisters, Paul knew that life is never truly hopeless. He says, 2 Corinthians 1:8, "For we would not, brother, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure above skin and so much that we despaired even of life." Here Paul describes his feelings of being defeated, of temporarily losing hope because of the terrible conditions and circumstances he endured. Paul knew that life is never truly hopeless, that God is able to rescue us from any trouble. Paul had those. We all have feelings sometimes, and we go through things. But what Paul is telling us tonight is that he believed God. When those situations and then those circumstances came in his life, I know sometimes you look at them and it might feel like it's hopeless, but you got to rest in your faith in what Christ said. He knew that God is able to rest us from any trouble, but he also was a human being. That's one thing I want you to understand. He had weaknesses just like ours. Paul did. You don't think some of those situations, they were very fearful for Paul at times? Yes, it was. And the truth is that sometimes knowing and trusting God's sovereignty isn't enough to keep us from despair. Sometimes we fall away. Even Paul struggled. Even Paul wanted to give up. Even Paul felt abandoned. Now, let's look at the details of Paul. Now, we're going to get into that next week. We're going to look at the details of Paul's letter to the Philippians. It seemed that he may have been struggling with similar feelings at the very time he wrote to this church that he loved so dearly. And we're going to get into that next week. And we're still going to be continuing talking about that life is never hopeless in Jesus Christ. My brothers and sisters, yeah, Paul, I can imagine some of the things that he was going through. He was human, just like you and I. Yes, if I sit here and say Paul was a superhuman, that he never had fears or anything like that, but Paul, his faith grew, and it grew and grew to the way he got to the point where, guess what, he controlled the situation with his faith. That's why God told him, my grace is sufficient for you, no matter what you're going through, Paul. Guess what? As time go on and you keep trusting God in your situations and persecutions and trials and tribulations, when you see that you trust in him, and guess what? That he's a God of his word, guess what? The more times, more tribulations, more trials, more situations and circumstances, difficult circumstances come in your life, your faith grows stronger in those situations and circumstances. They don't seem to faze you no more, because your faith in God and his word is to get stronger. And that's what it takes to learn how to believe God instead of your circumstances, instead of what man says, instead of what celebrities says on television. Many folks take what celebrities tell them instead of God's word. Trust God's word, my brothers and sisters. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this opportunity. We pray as those who listen in, that they were encouraged, that they were enlightened, and that they were edified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, my brothers and sisters.